Our New Testament lesson for this morning is taken from Mark chapter 7, and we're going to go back a little bit in the verse 24 through 36. So let us hear God's word about how Jesus was not just for those chosen few, but for everyone. So Jesus set out and went to the region of Tyre, and he entered a house and didn't want anyone to know that he was there. And yet he could not escape notice. There was a woman there whose little daughter had an unclean spirit within her, and she immediately heard about him, and she came and she bowed down at his feet. Now this woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, and she begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And he said, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs get under the table to eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and she found her daughter lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. And now we see Jesus again curing another person, a Gentile person. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis, and they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands and heal this man. And so Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowds, and put his fingers on his ears and spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered that they tell no one. And he ordered them, the more zealously they wanted to proclaim it, the more he said that to them. And they were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Friends, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. As we look at our scripture passages this morning, we see these two stories and want to try and make sense out of them. What are they trying to say about God and about us? And I think as I started this week looking at these stories, the one thing that came to mind is trust, and trusting these people that maybe we thought were out of God's reach, who were in fact right there in the middle of God's love and God's grace to be embraced by him. So let us watch this video that says, "Trust God even when it doesn't make sense."
Trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes, how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease detected, but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful.
We prayed just as hard for my father when his health went downhill as we did for my mother. We quoted the same scriptures. We asked God to restore his health, to let him live. But my father went to be with the Lord. It didn't happen the way I wanted. There will always be unanswered questions. Why didn't my loved one make it? Why am I not getting better? Why did this person leave? Some things are not going to make sense, but God wouldn't have allowed it if he wasn't going to bring good out of it. You may not see it at the time, but God knows what he's doing. He has your best interest at heart. It's not random. It's a part of his plan.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways. Trust. Trust.
But what about when things aren't going our way? Our prayers aren't being answered. The problem isn't turning around. We're not seeing favor. Too often, we get discouraged. Think, God, why aren't you doing something? You can see I'm being mistreated. My health isn't good. I worked hard, but I didn't get the promotion. We think when it changes, we'll be happy. When I meet the right person, when my health improves, when we have this baby, then we'll have a good attitude. That's conditional trust. God, if you meet my demands, if you answer my prayers the way I want, on my timetable, then I'll be my best. The problem with conditional trust is there will always be things we don't understand. Something that's not happening fast enough, it didn't work out the way we wanted. If I would have had conditional trust, I would have gotten upset, bitter, God, why didn't you answer my prayers? The truth is, God did answer my prayer. It just wasn't the way I wanted. Are you mature enough to accept God's answers, even though they're not what you were hoping for? God is a sovereign God. We're not going to understand everything that happens. Faith is trusting God when life doesn't make sense. God doesn't take us in a straight line. There'll be twists, turns, the disappointments, the loss, the bad breaks. They're all a part of his plan. But if you have conditional trust, you'll get discouraged and think, why is this happening? I'm going the wrong way, but God is still directing your steps. Trust him when you don't understand. Trust him even when it feels like you're going the wrong direction. Living worried, frustrated, disappointed, that takes our passion. It steals our joy, and it can keep us from seeing God's favor. And sometimes the closed doors, the disappointments, they are simply a test. God wants to see if we'll trust him when we don't understand it, when life doesn't make sense. We have to show him that we don't have to have the house to be happy. If we don't have the baby, we're not going to live bitter and sour. You're believing for your health to improve, but when you can say, if it doesn't get better, God, I'm still going to honor you. I'm still going to be my best. And when God sees that you don't have to have it, many times like him, God will give you back what you were willing to give up. Are you living frustrated because your prayers aren't being answered the way you want? Your plans aren't working out? Take the pressure off. God is in control. He knows what's best for you. You're not always going to understand it. If you did, it wouldn't take any faith. I'm asking you to trust him unconditionally. If you'll do this, I believe and declare God is going to work out his plan for your life. He's going to open the right doors, bring the right people, turn negative situations around, and take you to the fullness of your destiny.
I heard of a family circus cartoon as I was preparing for this. And my friend emailed it to me, and it had the mother in the family circus walking down the sidewalk with all of those gaggle of kids. And a passerby asked her and said, "How do you divide your love over so many children?" And the mother replied, "Oh, I don't divide my love, I multiply it." So this little cartoon can help us, can speak to our passage in Mark this morning, how the love and the grace of God is multiplied. God's love and grace is not divided up as if it's a commodity with limited resources, as if implying that perhaps someone could earn their way to get more of that love and grace. In this scripture passage, we see Jesus and see how his mission has expanded. up to this point, stories about Jesus revolved around his preaching and teaching to the people of Israel. Today's passage crosses boundaries, and the mission of Christ is larger, not only for Jew, but also Gentile. We see in this passage, too, that Jesus himself needed rest, a place where he would not be recognized. It was his experience that once people knew who he was or heard about who he was, they would press on him and make many demands, wanting that healing and that life. Jesus was perhaps looking for some anonymity. But then again, how can grace go unnoticed? How could Jesus be overlooked? We know that in him there was a love and a grace that was never seen before, that in Christ was a power and a vision that had not yet been present so fully on this earth. In him was the challenge for people to be the people of God and more than just name only. In him was known to satisfy the deepest hunger pains. Or as John's gospel said, in him was life and light. So as much as Jesus tried for that anonymity, even going into Gentile territory where perhaps he wouldn't be recognized as much, he encounters a woman there. And this woman had three strikes against her. And you know that saying, three strikes and you're out. She was a woman. She was a Gentile, and her origin leads us to believe that she was pagan. She absolutely had no claim over Jesus. What in the world was she doing approaching Jesus? We see then how Jesus responds to this woman. It makes it a little uncomfortable in this passage. It's not Jesus' response that we would expect from him. It makes us uneasy because he seems today to dismiss her, to say, "Don't bother me." This isn't the Jesus perhaps we've seen in the passages before this. But when this woman comes to Jesus, he refuses her help. And that's a bit confusing. He tells her to let the children be fed first, that it's not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. And at first, we wonder, what is Jesus talking about? But those in the first century would know exactly what was going on. Those Israelites were referred to as children of God. This showed their special relationship with God. This was God's people, set apart, holy, and chosen to be God's people. Gentiles were often referred to as dogs, as symbols of contempt, that they were not holy, they were not clean, they did not have that status of specialness, especially in comparison to the Israelites. In response, Jesus uses these categories of children and of dogs. But he doesn't maybe say the dog in a wild street sense. He does say this dog is a house pet. But nevertheless, being a stray or a pet, these were still referred to as dog. So what does Jesus mean? And how did he say this to this woman? And why does he say this? We see in Mark's gospel, if you ever want to start reading a gospel or start reading your Bible, Mark is a great place to start. It's fast-paced, it keeps it short and concise, and we see in Mark the full humanity of Jesus. We see a Jesus who asks questions, who struggles with fatigue, who declares that he is unaware of the Father's appointed time. Could this be one of those moments where we see Jesus wrestling with God? Where we see the humanity of Jesus. In that moment, maybe Jesus wondered that maybe my own people do not understand who I am. Maybe this Gentile perhaps will. In a story before this one, we get the disciples asking a lot of questions and Jesus saying, "Do you not yet understand who I am and what I am about?" These were considered the disciples who had followed him for years, who were the in crowd. What chance could this outsider have of understanding what those disciples, those people closest to Jesus, could not? Or maybe the statement Jesus made to this woman was a test to see how she could respond. Could this be a moment's wrestling, like when Jacob wrestled God, or when Jesus wrestled with God in the Garden of Gethsemane? Could this be one of those moments of wrestling in which Jesus comes to understand, to know fully what that means, that he has a mission to both Jew and Gentile. We've seen throughout the prophets, through Simeon as he sees Jesus, that Jesus was made for more than just those people. Jesus was made not just for Jews, but for Gentiles. And so as we look at this scene, we see the questions that it raises, perhaps not just in the answers, but rather in our beginning to see Jesus' mission and beginning to see the good news. This woman's response is quick-witted. She says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." She understood what Jesus was saying to her, that when children ate the crumbs, and if only it was just a crumb falling from their table, so be it. Just that little crumb. But she asserts that those crumbs would be enough for the dogs, and at least, if only a crumb, that it would be something. And Jesus is pleased with her reply. What was first a refusal becomes a response. This woman who could claim that none of the credits of being Jewish, of being holy and separate and set apart, came with her need, came with her heart, and shared with Jesus what it was that she needed. And in that moment, Christ's story and Christ's mission expands as Jesus then travels to another Gentile territory and responds. And we have, after that, the miraculous feeding of the 4,000 in the presence of many Gentiles. And we see the importance of this moment, that the net of God's grace is flung far and wide, farther than we can imagine. We, you and I, as heirs of this decision of the gospel of good news to reach beyond just the Jewish world, but into our world. We can even gather those crumbs of grace that are brought to us. We can even know and sense that grace that has claimed us and sets us free to live for Christ, and that grace that sets us free and compels us to go share that good news of overflowing love and grace. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this story, Lord, in the ways in which you reveal yourself to be far, Lord God, bigger than we would want to keep you. Lord, continue to throw open those doors, to open our eyes, to see the ways, Lord, in which you are at work in people and places that we think, Lord, there is no hope, there is no beauty, there is no life or light. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can bother you, that, Lord, we have a God who comes to us. And we, Lord, pray for that trust, even when it doesn't make sense for us, Lord God, that we can trust that you are God who is good and who is faithful. In your name we pray. Amen. Yes.